DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual direction according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He is featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He's also the author of numerous books on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, as well as other works focused on aspects of the spiritual life. A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Now, this next letter takes us to July of 1895. Léonie finally is unable to continue, and she does leave and returns home. Again, the eczema flares up. Her health just succumbs to this. She cannot continue. Actually, and we need to say that she was not the only one that left. All of the novices actually also left. The regime was just too severe for all of them. So this is another one of these difficult circumstances in Léonie's life. Had she been received, or had the formation been gentler, more accommodating, would she have left this time? It's a good question. But in any case, at yet another turning point in her life, she does not find the gentleness and the tenderness and the encouragement that she needs, and she is unable to continue, this time after 2 years in the Carmel. She spent 2 months with the Poor Clares. She spent 6 months in her first attempt with the Visitation Sisters. This time, she spends 2 years, and again, it fails. Let's just read now. Therese is writing here to her aunt, to Céline Guérin. So what has happened is that her uncle, Isidore, together with her cousin Marie, are traveling up to the monastery to meet Léonie and to accompany her home. And so that's the setting. All of this is happening right now. If you only knew with what sweet emotion my soul was filled yesterday when seeing him with his angelic little Marie. So Isidore and Marie come to the Carmel just to meet with the sisters, certainly to talk about the fact that they're going to have to go and get Léonie. We were plunged into a very great sorrow because of our dear Léonie. It was like a real agony. These bonds between the sisters are very deep. God, who willed to try our faith, was sending us no consolation whatever. And as for me, I was unable to offer any other prayer but that of our Lord on the cross. My God, why have you abandoned us? Or like that in the garden of agony, my God, may your will be done and not ours. So Therese suffers very deeply for the suffering that she knows Léonie is undergoing. Then to console us, our divine Savior did not send us the angel who sustained him in Gethsemane, but one of his saints, still a traveler on earth and filled with his divine strength. And so she's speaking of her uncle as she's writing to his wife, her aunt. When we saw his calm, his resignation, our anxieties were dispelled, and we felt the support of a paternal hand. O dear little aunt, how great are God's mercies on his poor children. If you only knew the sweet tears I shed when listening to the heavenly conversation of my holy uncle. He seemed to me already transfigured. His language was not that of a faith that hopes, but of a love that possesses. At the moment when trial and humiliation came to visit him, because this is not easy for the Guérins either. Léonie is living with them at this point. The Martin household no longer exists. He appeared to forget everything in order to think of nothing but to bless the divine hand that was taking from him his treasure and as a reward was testing him like a saint. And then she hasn't finished this letter, and the following day she resumes. I had left aside my letter yesterday without finishing it, for Marie arrived with Léonie. So they've been to the monastery, they've accompanied Léonie, and Marie now comes with Léonie to visit the sisters, her sisters in the Carmel speak room. And watch how this happens. Our emotion was very great when seeing her. We were unable to make her say a word. She was crying so much. Probably nothing more than this can describe the. I think it's true to say that this was probably the lowest point in Léonie's life, her third failure at this point. Finally, she ended up by looking at us and everything went off well. And she goes on with further details. I speak of this as the low point. This is just my own proposal in Léonie's life. She's 32 years old. All of her sisters are either, well, three of her sisters are in the convent. Céline is really only waiting to take care of their father until his death to enter the Carmel. Of her two cousins, one is married. The other is just a few weeks away, actually, from entering the Carmel in Lisieux. Her family life has evaporated around her. The Guérins, her aunt and uncle, with great love, welcome her into their household. She wants desperately to be a religious. She's tried three times and failed three times. What is left for her? In fact, she'll say in letters in the time that follows that there is a sadness that I can never shake. There's a sadness that's always with me. 3 weeks later, the younger daughter of the Guérins, Marie, enters the Carmel in Lisieux. And I just wonder what this must have meant for Léonie. Three times she's tried and failed. And here is this younger cousin now, just a few weeks later, after Léonie has returned in such humiliation, is leaving the home to enter the Carmel, what that must mean for her. At this point, too, Céline is already in the Carmel. And now in the following year, 1896, this is the next to last year of Thérèse's life. She has that hemorrhage of blood on Holy Thursday and Good Friday. This is the signal that her health is going to take a significant downturn. And Léonie will witness this through her visits to the Carmel as all of this unfolds. So she is living with her aunt and uncle, 33, 34 years and so on in these years. And she's struggling. She's very much loved by them. But their life was different than that of the Martins. They were much more socially active. And her uncle had come into a very rich inheritance at this point and had a very large property with a large mansion out in the country. And they would spend the summers there with all kinds of social activities and games and parties and things. And all of this was very hard for Léonie, who just never really felt at home in any of this and knew that the others saw her as not fitting well into this. So these are sad and painful years in the life of Léonie. She does her best, but it's difficult. So let's look at a letter written from Thérèse to Léonie. It's almost exactly a year after she has left the Visitation Convent. Dear little Léonie, I would have answered your charming letter last Sunday if it had been given to me. But we are five, that is, the four sisters and their cousin now are in the Carmel. And you know that I am the littlest, she's the youngest. So I run the risk of not seeing the letters until after the others, or else not at all. I saw your letter only on Friday, and so, dear little sister, I am not late through my own fault. Now, this is just invariable in Thérèse. Léonie will be wondering, why haven't I heard from Thérèse? And so she goes into some detail to explain this so that Léonie will know that there was no lack of love for her involved in this. I am not surprised that the thought of death is sweet to you, since you no longer hold anything on earth. This is a theme throughout Léonie's letters, that the earth, as we've talked about this before, earth as exile, heaven as the homeland and the end of suffering. And I think it's quite easy to understand why Léonie would long for the end of this exile at this point in her life, when she seems to have reached a kind of dead end and there seems to be no way forward. I assure you, and this these next sentences are why I wanted to quote this letter. Sweet to you, since you no longer hold on to anything on earth. I assure you, look at the certainty with which Thérèse speaks. At this point, she is at the height of her sanctity and the depth of the richness of her doctrine. These are the years also in which she's writing The Story of a Soul. I assure you that God is much better than you believe. At one point, I took that sentence in the original French and wrote it out just so I could see it. Well, I'll complete it. I assure you that God is much better than you believe. He is content with a glance, a sigh of love. We can be afraid of God. You know, sometimes when we look at just how imperfect we are, or, you know, in mid-afternoon or toward the end of the day, you look back at how we've lived the day, and I wasted time there, and I missed that opportunity there, and my prayer was so sketchy. And somewhere on the margins of our spiritual consciousness is a sense that the Lord can't be very happy with this. Must be a little disappointed with me, and so on. And you can see Léonie living all of this very deeply at this point when she feels such a failure. And so Thérèse says, I assure you. And let's let her speak to the hearts of every one of us listening right now. I assure you that God is much better than you believe. It's not as hard as you think. He's not as critical as you think and criticizing as you think he is. He's not as quick to point out and to put his finger on faults and failures as you think he is. He's much better than you think he is. He is content with a glance, with a sigh of love. And I think that's really why this sentence struck me so much, because, all right, maybe I didn't do that well, but I can lift my heart to the Lord and just say, with all my failures and faults, you know that I really do want to love you. And he's content with that. That's all he's asking. With a sigh of love. And we can all do that. As for me, I find perfection very easy to practice. Remarkable. Well, we're at the heart of Thérèse here now. Perfection is her way of saying holiness or sanctity. As for me, I find perfection very easy to practice because I have understood that it is a matter of taking hold of Jesus by his heart. This is very deep in her doctrine. So she explains. Look at a little child who has just annoyed his mother by flying into a temper or by disobeying her. I would ask, or I'd like to invite any mothers listening just to see how you respond to what Thérèse says here. So here's a little child who has just bothered or annoyed his mother. He's gotten into a temper, or sulking, or disobeyed or something. If he hides away in a corner in a sulky mood, and if he cries in fear of being punished, his mama will not pardon him, certainly not his fault. But if he comes to her, holding out his little arms, smiling and saying, kiss me, I will not do it again, will his mother be able not to press him to her heart tenderly and forget his childish mischief? However, she knows her dear little one will do it again on the next occasion, but this does not matter. If he takes her again by her heart, he will not be punished. And again, we could spend a long time on that. I assure you that God is much better than you think. At the time of the law of fear, before the coming of our Lord, the prophet Isaiah already said, again, as I say, you never go far without scripture in Thérèse. Speaking in the name of the King of Heaven, can a mother forget her child? Well, even if a mother were to forget her child, I myself will never forget you. What a delightful promise. And this was in the time of the law of fear, before Jesus came, she's saying. Ah, but we who are living in the law of love in the New Testament, after Jesus came, how can we not profit by the loving advances our spouse is making to us? How can we fear him who allows himself to be enchained by a hair fluttering on our neck, these small little gestures of sacrifices and reaching out and so on. Again, quoting the Song of Songs. Let us understand then how to hold him prisoner, this God who becomes the beggar of our love. When telling us that it is a hair that can affect this prodigy, now she explains what the image means. He is showing us that the smallest actions done out of love, so there's the heart of the little way, are the ones that charm his heart. You, Léonie, can do that. And really, as a doctor of the church, she's saying that to every one of us. Ah, if we had to do great things, how much we would have to be pitied. But how fortunate we are, since Jesus allows himself to be enchained by the smallest things, which opens up sanctity to every one of us. It is not little sacrifices you lack, dear Léonie. Is not your life made up of them? And this is why she's saying it to her. There's this sadness in Léonie's life. There's so many things that she's asked to participate in or do in a day that she really doesn't want to do and are difficult for her. So you have so many opportunities to offer these kinds of little sacrifices to the Lord. I take delight at seeing you before such a treasure. These are Thérèse's reversals, as I call them. So here is Léonie burdened by the sadness of living in a situation that she really doesn't want to live in and which is hard. And Thérèse turns it around and says, how blessed you are to be in a situation which allows you to offer these things for the Lord and so to win his heart. I take delight at seeing you before such a treasure, and especially when thinking you know how to profit from it, not only for yourself, but for souls. That apostolic purpose, evangelizing, bringing others to Jesus, is always very much at the heart of this whole little way. Why do we do these things? Because through them, we help Jesus. We are associated with Jesus in his work of redemption and bringing his grace to others and changing lives. To help him save souls that he bought at the price of his blood, and that are awaiting only our help in order not to fall into the abyss. It seems to me that if our sacrifices are the hairs which captivate Jesus, our joys are also. So it's not just the sad things, it's the happy things too. For this, it suffices not to center in on a selfish happiness, but to offer our spouse the little joys he is sowing on the path of life to charm our souls and to raise them to himself. And then she goes on with some more immediate family matters.
We'll return to A Sister of St. Thérèse, Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment. Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, asking for your help during this Lenten and Easter season. Support from our listeners is vital and allows us to bring you and many others high-quality spiritual programs like the one you are listening to now. It also assists us in our outreach to areas around the globe, touching literally millions of souls via the World Wide Web. Our highly rated free Discerning Hearts app allows you to access over 1,000 audio files as well as video content now available on our expanding YouTube channel. And new this year, we've been able to offer online spiritual seminar retreats with Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Monsignor John Essef, and Deacon James Keating. The heart of our mission is to help foster authentic spiritual formation for the seeking soul so they can fully encounter the living Christ and share in his mission of healing hearts and spreading the good news to the world. Please, won't you help us to continue this important work of evangelization by donating today to discerninghearts.com. From the Liturgy of the Hours of the Roman Rite, from the Office of Readings, from the Autobiography of St. Thérèse of the Child Jesus.
Since my longing for martyrdom was powerful and unsettling, I turned to the epistles of St. Paul in the hope of finally finding an answer. By chance, the 12th and 13th chapters of the first epistle to the Corinthians caught my attention. And in the first section I read that not everyone can be an apostle, prophet, or teacher, that the church is composed of a variety of members, and that the eye cannot be the hand. Even with such an answer revealed before me, I was not satisfied and did not find peace. I persevered in the reading and did not let my mind wander until I found this encouraging theme. Set your desires on the greater gifts, and I will show you the way which surpasses all others. For the apostle insists that the greater gifts are nothing at all without love, and that the same love is surely the best path leading directly to God. At length I had found peace of mind. When I had looked upon the mystical body of the church, I recognized myself in none of the members which St. Paul described, and what is more, I desired to distinguish myself more favorably within the whole body. Love appeared to me to be the hinge for my vocation. Indeed, I knew that the church had a body composed of various members, but in this body the necessary and more noble member was not lacking. I knew that the church had a heart, and that such a heart appeared to be aflame with love. I knew that one love, drove the members of the church to action, that if this love were extinguished, the apostles would have proclaimed the gospel no longer, the martyrs would have shed their blood no more. I saw and realized that love sets off the bounds of all vocations, that love is everything, and that the same love embraces every time and every place. In one word, that love is everlasting. Then, nearly ecstatic with the supreme joy in my soul, I proclaimed, O Jesus, my love, at last I have found my calling. My call is love. Certainly I have found my place in the church, and you gave me that very place, my God. In the heart of the church, my mother, I will be love, and thus I will be all things, as my desire finds its direction.
O God, who open your kingdom to those who are humble and to little ones, lead us to follow trustingly in the way of Saint Therese, so that through her intercession we may see your eternal glory revealed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We now return to A Sister of Saint Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher.
And then I'll read one more letter of Therese to Léonie, and this is the last letter that she wrote to Léonie. Léonie, of course, kept it with the others, and she'll quote this letter later on in some of her own letters. This was precious to her. It was like Therese's final testament, almost, in a way to her. This was not the last communication of Therese to Léonie, because although it was the last time she was able to write to her, so this is July 17th, she died September 30th, but she had that extremely painful month of August, and writing was just very difficult for her in those final weeks. But let me read this, the editor includes this. This is actually Léonie herself writing to Céline a number of years later. You know that a few days before her holy death, Therese had written to me by means of our dear sister Marie of the Sacred Heart, that if I wanted to live by love and humility, she would come to get me. That's a quote. And I am begging her to help me and not to forget her promise. So this was not the final communication of Therese to Léonie, but it's the last letter. Dear Léonie, I am very happy to be able to speak with you again. A few days ago, I was thinking I no longer had this consolation on earth. She thought that her death was already imminent. But God seemed willing to prolong my exile. There's that always that theme, I exile a little. I am not disturbed by it, for I would not want to enter heaven 1 minute earlier by my own will. The only happiness on earth is to apply oneself in always finding delightful the lot Jesus is giving us. And that will mean an awful lot for Léonie as the years unfold. The only happiness on earth is to do what Jesus wants us to do. The only happiness on earth is to apply oneself and so to make the best effort we can in always finding delightful the lot Jesus is giving us. And then to Léonie. Your lot is so beautiful, dear little sister. This 33-year-old woman whose life seems so ended and over and sad. If you want to be a saint, this will be easy for you, since at the bottom of your heart, the world is nothing to you. You can then, like us, that is your sisters in the Carmel, occupy yourself with the one thing necessary, Scripture always returns. That is to say, while you give yourself up devotedly to exterior works. So she is doing her best to reach out to help and so forth. While you're doing this, your purpose is simple, to please Jesus. So as we said before, that's the deep thing. To please Jesus, to unite yourself more intimately to him. You want me to pray in heaven to the Sacred Heart for you. Be sure that I will not forget to deliver your messages to him and to ask all that will be necessary for you to become a great saint, and she underlines a great saint. Adieu, dear sister. I would like the thought of my entrance into heaven to fill you with gladness. since I shall be able to love you even more, which is a lovely thought. The final thing that she says to her sister, don't be sad at my death, because from heaven I'll be able to love you even more than I've ever loved you before. Which again is speaking right to the need in Léonie's heart. And then the rest then of this is Thérèse's own story, the final months, the last conversations, and then the moment of her death on September 30th, that powerful last glance that lasts about the length of a credo, as they say, when the sisters just, it's apparent to them that something supernatural is taking place, and that holy death which ends that holy life. So this is in September of 1897. In the following year, her sisters, especially Pauline, prepare the three manuscripts that put together have become the story of a soul. And they publish it on the first anniversary of her death. So this is September 30th, 1898. Their uncle actually finances the publication of 2,000 copies of this book, which is really how the whole saga of Thérèse after her death begins. Léonie reads this, and it's a bombshell for her. It's another turning point in her life. She learns, of course, she was never there in the Carmel with the other sisters, like her other sisters, to see Thérèse go through the years of the Carmel. And Thérèse shares a number of things about her earlier life, too, which Léonie had never known. So she devours this book, becomes, as it so to speak, her bedside reading. She goes, reads it over and over and over again. And it is fundamental in her absorption of Thérèse's little way, opening up to her the path that will be hers for the rest of her life.
You've been listening to A Sister of St. Thérèse, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and/or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it on the Discerning Hearts free app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for A Sister of St. Thérèse, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher.